And we have one of the busiest men on the planet right now. He is our Flathead City County Health Officer, Joe Russell. Good morning, Joe.
Hey, John. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Oh, boy. So, I'm looking here at double-digit new cases all week long. What in the world's going on?
Well, I think we're seeing... we're actually seeing some of the variants, and we're probably seeing some of the activity that... You know, we've seen higher numbers in Missoula and Gallatin County, and I'm not throwing stones at either one of the communities, but, you know, they're university towns, and, you know, there's been some uptick, and it's only a matter of time till they start to move throughout the state. So, you know, and we're seeing some of the variants. We actually have the California variant, the UK variant, and another European variant that have been identified in Flathead County. Nothing terribly to be concerned with. You know, a lot of these line up really well with the vaccine, so I'm not too concerned. I would love to get more people vaccinated, though.
And that was another thing. Last week we talked, and you expressed some concerns because I guess the interest is starting to drop.
John, it is, and it's not just Flathead County. I mean, it's not like we're doing something wrong. It's going down all over the state. I think Cascade County's not doing any first dose clinics anymore, and we're seeing a drop in Missoula County and Lewis and Clark also.
So what percentage would you say of Flathead County is vaccinated now, at least the first shot?
Oh, at least their first shot? I tried to decipher the numbers. We have about 44,000 doses of vaccine provided. And right now, you know, if you think about that with the second dose Pfizer's that we have, we're pretty close to 20%. And if we just finished up with the Pfizer's and the second doses that we have on the schedule, we'll end up around 25, 26, 7%, depending on what our other partners are doing.
So basically, I guess the bottom line is those of us who got vaccinated will be protected. Those that say, oh, I don't need it, they will remain vulnerable?
They will be remain vulnerable to contracting COVID-19. You know, hopefully they run into us that have already been vaccinated so we can protect them a little bit too. The problem is how herd immunity works. There's just not enough of us that are protected based on vaccination or illness to protect the entire community. So the chances of contracting it go down because you're either going to meet someone that's, you know, can't give it to you or can give it to you. And the more vaccine we put into people, that number of can't give it to you goes up.
So why are these variants happening?
You know, John, it is just an absolute fact that viruses will genetically shift and drift. The coronavirus shifts and drifts much less than influenza does. And I think I might have mentioned to you, influenza's genome is segmented, so big chunks of it leave and get replaced. And that's why we have to get a flu shot every year. Coronavirus is not so much. They'll have changes at the allele level, the single genome level, which will impact, you know, how the S protein looks or something. So it's a matter of nature, and we're gonna see it. Fortunately, we don't have a segmented genome like we do with influenza, so we're getting this, but that's why the vaccine continues to be effective, because we don't see these big old shifts in genome, which codes for amino acids and proteins.
So I guess it's just kind of the natural way that viruses work. Are we going to have to alter the vaccines in order to protect ourselves?
I think at some point we may have to. You know, everyone is, that's the kind of the key question now. When am I going to have to get that third dose? You know, it may not be this year, but it may be next year. And that's just, you know, it may be a matter of boosting what we've already have, or checking in with our, our immune response system to say, hey, this has shifted enough that we probably should give you a different genome to code to, but it won't be two shots. It'll only be one.
I'm watching on television. I'm seeing these long lines that people are standing in to get their vaccination, and how they're driving up in cars, long lines of cars. And I think about our experience here with the vaccination clinics you guys are doing. I would think that people from just about anywhere in the world would rather get their vaccination here.
We have a lot of people checking in with us that have been, we'll be giving them the second dose from some place that they came from, and they all marvel at how smooth everything runs. And it's not only the setup, it's the people we have there. We have great people, the volunteers, the vaccinators, my staff that, really supports the vaccinators. Everything is done to make it a good experience, and we wouldn't have it any other way. And I think you'd attest that it is a pretty good experience going through there.
I don't think we were there 20 minutes.
Yeah, we're pretty fast.
Yeah, and then 15 of those minutes where we had to wait and just to make sure everything was okay before we left.
Yes. Yeah.
You made us stay there.
Yeah. We have some people that like to stay and chat, but that's fine too. We never kick anyone out.
Okay. So I guess the next question is, how do we get people in and into the queue so that that more people can get vaccinated? I am concerned that that it's starting to slow down.
I am too, and I think it's really going to take the community members that listen to your show and others that just say, hey, have you gotten vaccinated? Because, I just become windpipe after a while to some people. I'm the health officer, but, they need to hear from their, from their colleagues at work. They need to hear from their friends that say, hey, we'd like to get together and have a little get-together, the CDC says we can, right? We had one last night with some friends, and we're all vaccinated, and we feel really comfortable what we're doing, and we're, outside, inside. I think people should realize that this is really, it generates that immunity that it's going to take for us to start being social again. And I think that's where I think that if our colleagues at work will say, hey, let's just get vaccinated. It's not a big deal. And, our friends would do the same thing. I think that's what it's going to take going forward. I just don't think it's really up to just us to message. I think the community needs to message each other now and send that really strong message out there. Gosh darn, we want to get together with you. Just go get vaccinated.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think about back to the polio vaccine when it first came out and how we lined up at Linderman School gym to get our vaccination.
I don't remember it being optional either.
Well, I don't either.
Yeah. But, all of our parents.
That's the paradigm that we work from. And I actually had a conversation about polio vaccination at the clinic yesterday. And I was in, I think I was in, my dad was a pilot in the Vietnam era, and I think I was in Okinawa, and I remember having to march up to the school nurse, and I got the live virus in the sugar cube. And I still remember to this day that, and I also talk to people that are post-polio now, and they would love to have had the chance to be vaccinated because they're struggling. And mm-hmm. then we get this darn coronavirus that either gives you no symptoms of illness or can literally kill you. And until people understand how severe it can be, they're not willing to get vaccinated either. So, we're not trying to make coronavirus vaccinations mandatory. We think it really is. It's a personal responsibility. I think we'd all realize that our responsibility to our neighbors is to be vaccinated. Mm-hmm. And, I think that should drive a lot of people to say, this is why we need to do it.
Yeah,
I think,
at this, yeah. At this point, Joe, are there any restrictions over anybody over 16 who can't get vaccinated?
Not really. You know, there are people that we monitor really closely because of their some of their, even 16-year-olds have underlying medical conditions, but there's really no restriction. And if you have any inkling that you that your medical conditions might keep you from getting vaccinated, call your medical care provider, and you're going to find that, you know, 99% of the people out there can be vaccinated. It's just, where do you want to do it? Do you want to do it in a clinic where you might need to, you know, lay down, or do you want to, you know, do it with your medical care provider? Those are some of the things that your docs, you know, and nurse practitioners can really work with you on. But yeah, most people can get this.
And you're not rejecting anybody who signs up?
No, and we're actually, you know, we have, because we have people that have gone and gotten vaccinated somewhere else, we'll have openings during the day, and we'll usually, if people walk in and say, hey, you know, just thought I'd give you a chance to see if you had a slot open, and we'll put them through. You know, it's not an issue of vaccine scarcity anymore. We have the vaccine. We just need we need to get the demand up, and you know, we'll do whatever we can to get people vaccinated that walk through the door.
That's good news that you got plenty of the Pfizer and Moderna. There's so this Johnson & Johnson pause isn't going to affect the flathead at all.
No, and you know, we were scheduled to do 600 Johnson & Johnsons yesterday, and we couldn't have called all of them to see if they were going to come in. We had a few cancellations before. We had 2/3 of the people that were scheduled for Johnson & Johnson come in and get their first Pfizer dose. We thought that was remarkable.
That's great.
So we were projecting 1,000 vaccines, but we ended up doing about 820. And literally 400 of those were people that just walked in and said, nope, it's time to get vaccinated. If J&J is not available, give me the Pfizer.
Joe, for a couple of minutes here, I want to just let you go with a stream of consciousness. What's on your mind as our health officer?
Well, a lot of things. You know, I think we meet in a couple of weeks, and I'll probably want to talk about our health center separating from the health department. It's a trying time, you know, because those staffs are not going to, over there, are not going to be part of, you know, the county system. We have a lot of work to do with the human resource side of this, and, you know, our finance people in the county have a lot of work to do to separate these funds, and so that's taken up some time, a lot of mental time with me. You know, we're into environmental health is, you know, it's crazy over there. You know, when you see in the paper that we have very few houses on the market, people are trying to build houses, and so our septic system programs, you know, they're going crazy. We did 100 permit applications last month. We'll do it again this month. You know, so the demand for, you know, building is super high, and that puts a lot of stress on our environmental health program. So, you know, health center, environmental health, and, you know, I really want to tell you that we're actually looking at how we can transition back to doing normal public health services in the building. And so, you know, we're talking about getting back into the travel vaccines, and we're talking about doing normal vaccination clinics, you know, as well as trying to support continuing to get people COVID-19 vaccine. So, you know, there's a lot of stuff on our plates, and it takes the time away, but you know, we still know we're in a pandemic response and framework, and we need to get vaccine in people. We need to continue to do our contact tracing, and we're doing it, and we're keeping up, and even though the numbers are going up, you know, our ability to be flexible and how we respond is probably keeping us you know, in a really good framework to moving forward.
All right. Joe, as always, we really do appreciate the time you give us, and we look forward to talking with you again soon.
Hey, it's always a pleasure. And I still get lots of folks come up and say, hey, I listened to you. you know, with John and Robin, and you give us a lot of great advice. And I always tell them, you know, it's because they know what questions to ask, and it makes it easy on me.
Oh, well, we appreciate that.
Have a great weekend.
All right. Great day.
Take care.